Praise the Lord. What a sufficient Savior we have. Amen. And the storms may not be comfortable to us, but they are working for our good. Amen. And they're working in conjunction with the Lord's plan. And so we can, in all things, we can give thanks because we know that the Lord's doing something in that storm He couldn't do in us without the storm. And because of our limitation, not because of His.
Right.
But I'm so thankful that even in the storm, He cares for us. Amen. And He loves us. And it's for our good. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful comfort? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Amen. And we know.
Yes.
We know that all things work together for good to them who are, to them who love the Lord, them who are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
And just make sure you love Him.
Right.
Amen? Make sure you love Him. And make sure you're doing His will, and everything He's going to bring in your life is going to be for your good and for His glory.
Yes,
Luke chapter 1, in our Bibles tonight, Luke chapter 1. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to preach, and I don't take that lightly at all. I am grateful every time I'm able to stand and open God's Word and give to God's people what God has given to me. And I pray, trust it'll be a help to you. Luke chapter 1, we are entering into the Christmas season. Amen. And you can say amen there. It's all right. See, you didn't know if I was in favor or opposed, did you? You were sitting there thinking, well, I wonder what he's... And I've always been in favor of Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
And I tell some preachers, I said, man, don't preach against Santa Claus. He's always been good to me. But I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding. But we think about this passage when we come to this time of year, and but you know, God's word is God's word all year round.
Amen.
And we know that the things that are in there are written for our admonition. They're written to help us. We know all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable.
Amen.
Amen. And so every time we look in God's word, every story we read in God's Word, every response to the Word of God that we read of in God's Word, all of it's profitable. And as we look at the life of Mary, in particular, this event that really changed her life and shaped her legacy, I want us to look at it maybe in a little different way than maybe we have before. But it'll be biblical, I promise you. All right, Luke chapter 1, let's stand together. And if you're able, and I'll read aloud and you follow along in your King James Bible. Luke chapter 1, beginning verse number 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was," say the next word with me, "troubled." She was troubled at his saying, "and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I want to preach tonight on this thought, develop this thought, when God interrupts your life.
Amen.
When God interrupts your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. God, it's been a good day. Lord, we've enjoyed being in assembling with your people in your house today. It's been a joy as we've sung and we've been reminded of the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ, the wonderful home in heaven that awaits us. Lord, our hearts have been thrilled as we think about this. But now, Lord, we have come to the preaching time, to the time when our hearts are hopefully open and receptive to the Spirit of God. And Lord, we need you. Father, I need you tonight. I need your Spirit to help me, fill me, and use me, Lord, to deliver the message that you've given to me. Lord, we understand that we need your light. And as the psalmist said, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold glorious truths from out of thy law. Lord, we need those truths, not just to educate ourselves tonight, but Lord, to influence our lives and our hearts. Father, we need your Spirit tonight. We pray that you would, have complete liberty in this place and in our hearts tonight. Lord, as we look at, this young lady named Mary, Lord, we all know who she is because of what we just read. And Lord, I pray that we would see that she was just a young lady like any other young lady, that she had goals, that she had hopes and dreams. And Lord, you brought something into her life that she was not expecting. But Lord, I pray that as we look at her response and look at her life, that Lord, that we would receive instruction. Because Lord, there's without doubt in my mind, Lord, there are ways that you're going to interrupt our lives. There's going to be things that you bring into our lives, Lord, that we're not expecting. And Lord, I pray that we would respond the way Mary did. Lord, that we might be used in the way that Mary was used as well to bring your son to this world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Mary was a young lady. Most commentaries list her probably 15, 16, 17 years old, somewhere in there. We don't know for sure, but we do know that she was a young woman. We know that she was a virgin, and we know that she was espoused to a man named Joseph. And this would be what we would say today, an engagement. And so she's getting ready to be married. I have 8 daughters. My brother is here tonight. We had no sisters growing up. There's no girls in our family except mom. And God's got a sense of humor. Amen. He gave me 8 daughters. And I looked at these and I thought, what do I do with these? Amen. Girls are different. They're just different. And in a good kind of way. Amen. I don't mean it in a wrong way, just a good kind of way. But one thing I've learned about little girls is that from a young age, they learn very quickly. They're looking forward to that big day,
right?
That wedding day. They're looking forward to having little babies of their own.
Right.
And Mary was no different.
Right.
She was just like any other young lady. She'd been dreaming of this day and hoping for this day, and she had goals, I'm sure, for what her life was going to be like. Looking forward to this day when she would become Mrs. Joseph, amen, and they would start a family. So it was on one of these normal days in her life that her life got turned upside down. Now we have the benefit of looking back on this day and seeing all that transpired and all that God did through Mary, but Mary didn't have that benefit.
Right.
In this day, when she is really kind of accosted by this visitor who she didn't know anything about. The Bible says that her first reaction to the greeting of the angel, Gabriel, was she was troubled. She was troubled. And the Bible says she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, she was just looking for an answer.
Yeah.
Amen. You go fishing, you know what you do? You cast.
Right.
And you're just looking for something. Well, that's what Mary was doing. She was casting in her mind. Who is this person?
Yep.
What does this mean? Why is he here? And it was not welcome at the first. It was an interruption, not just of her day, but of her life.
Yes, sir.
And not only was there an interruption here, but there was an imposition. To say that the Lord, through the angel and through this message in Mary's life, to say he imposed upon her life, I think would be an understatement.
Right.
Hey, Mary, guess what? God has chosen you.
Amen.
Well, that sounds great. What's the details? The details are you're going to have a son before you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's not going to look good.
Yep.
You say, well, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing improper. You and I know that.
Right.
Because we have God's revealed word given to us in our own language. Amen. We can read it. We can see exactly what happened. We can see the end from the beginning. We get the whole picture.
Yep.
You know who didn't get the whole picture? Mary's family.
Right.
Mary's community.
Yes, sir. Right.
And what the Lord is calling Mary to do here comes with a price tag.
That's right.
It's going to cost her something.
Yes.
The Lord is imposing upon her. And I say this, the Lord is going to bring some impositions in our life as well.
Yes.
Now, you know what? You know what Mary realized? We'll get to in just a minute. We need to realize he has every right to do so.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. And so here's an interruption. Here's an imposition. And the third thing about this is it's an impossibility. Mary, when she hears the message, her mind is going. That's another thing I learned about girls. Their minds are always going. I can put mine in neutral.
Yep.
Amen?
Yes.
Click. And just coast.
Yeah.
Rachel asked me, what are you thinking about? Nothing.
Yep.
And she does not believe me.
Right.
But brethren, can I get a witness tonight?
Yes, sir.
We can think about nothing. We have that ability.
Yes,
and Rachel gets upset because she can't turn her brain off.
Right.
It's all the time going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we go to bed at night, and as soon as my head hits the pillow, boom.
Yep.
I'm in zombie zone. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm out. And she's laying there tossing and turning because she's thinking about all the stuff she needs to do,
yep.
All the stuff she didn't get done that she should have, and all that stuff. And Mary, you know Mary, she's... Like I said, she's just like any other lady. Her mind is going, and the Lord is giving her this message through Gabriel. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be the Son of the Highest. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob. I mean, you talk about overload. Mary's just trying to take all of this in, and then all of a sudden she says, oh, wait a minute, there's a problem. There's an impossibility. Verse 34, it says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The Bible tells us that she was a virgin.
Right.
And so she had kept herself pure. And she said, what you're describing to me is impossible.
Right.
And yet we know later on in the passage, the angel Gabriel is going to say to her in verse 37, for with God... nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
You know, the Lord may move upon your life and He may put a calling upon your life that you think is impossible.
Right.
And can I tell you, if it was up to you, it would be impossible. But that's the realm in which God works. He works in the realm of impossibilities. Let me tell you, if I had a God that had to operate by my rules, I wouldn't be serving much of a God. Amen? But He's not limited to what we're limited by. Like the preacher said tonight, you put Him in a box and He'll break that box all to pieces. Amen? You can't put Him in a box, you can put Him in a book. Amen. He's bound Himself to His Word, but even this book doesn't tell us everything about our God. Did you know that? John said, if we just listed all the things that Jesus did and said in His 3 years of ministry, the world could not contain it. Amen. So even though we can hold the Lord to His Word, still this doesn't tell us everything about our God. Because there's no limit to Him at all. And Mary is thinking, this is impossible. What you're asking me to do, what you're calling me to do, is impossible for me. And the Lord said, well, I'm glad you realize that. Amen? Because what is impossible to us is possible with God. I want you to see the response that Mary had to the revelation of God's will for her life. And you see it in one verse, and there's two statements that she makes in verse 38. And Mary said, after receiving all this information, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now that seems like a pretty innocuous statement or a very neutral statement, but really there's a lot there.
Yes, sir.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. You know what she said first and foremost? I'm yours, Lord.
Amen.
And you look upon me, and I am not my own. She had the concept of ownership and being bought with a price before she was even given all the details about it. But even in this place and in history, in this place in her life, she accepted the fact that her life was in the hands of God. And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. How much more us who have been fully informed regarding our salvation when we were saved, we're bought with a price.
Amen.
We know what that price was. It was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. We were purchased Amen. By His blood, and we no longer are our own. We belong to Him.
Amen.
That means all of us belongs to Him.
Yes, sir.
Spirit, soul, and body. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's.
Amen.
Mary understood this. We would call it surrender, but I really think a better word for it is submission.
Amen.
And I love that old song, I Surrender All.
Yes.
It's a great song. But you know, when you think about it, surrender is when you've been conquered. Most armies, they surrender when they have no other resource, no other way out. And so they run up that white flag of surrender. Amen? Well, I've got no way out of this situation, this predicament I'm in. Submission is when you willingly give yourself, put yourself under the power of another. And that's what the Lord's looking for.
Yes, sir.
He's looking for our submission.
Amen.
And Mary had this in her heart. And you know, what's on the inside will come out in pressure time.
Yeah.
And this was a big test. And we see why the Lord highly favored Mary.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sure she was a beautiful young lady, but that's not why God highly favored her. I believe and I know that God saw in her heart what the status of her heart was, the condition of her heart, and she had a heart that wanted to please God. And so she makes the statement, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." The second statement she makes is also profound. "Be it unto me according to thy word."
Amen.
You know, if every Christian would get these two concepts, I'm not mine, I'm the Lord's, and whatever your word says, that's what I want to happen in my life.
Amen.
"Be it unto me according to thy word."
Amen.
I'm not talking about revival. I believe if every Christian had these two principles down in our hearts, and we didn't just say them, but we lived them.
Yes, sir.
I believe we would see revival.
Yes, sir.
My life is not my own. That means that my course, my way, is subject to God's way. That means whatever He wants in my life, I'll be willing to accept it. Mary had a choice. She had a choice in this. She was given what God wanted her to do, but she had a decision to make. And I want us to see, with the remainder of our time, I want us to see how Mary accepting this, how that impacted her life. Mary's acceptance of bearing Christ brought, number one, it brought risk. It brought risk. You say, what do you mean? Well, look in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. In every marriage, biblical marriage, you've got a wife, but you also have what? A husband. Amen. That was not a trick question. And Mary's decision impacted not just her personally in her life going forward, but also her relationship with Joseph. Now here's what I think maybe sometimes we miss. The fact that Mary agreed to the will of God before she ever consulted with Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
I know to us Bible believing Baptists, amen, who believe in the headship of the husband in the home.
Sure.
And I'm one of them.
Amen.
I believe that. That may sound foreign to our ears, but can I tell you something? God's will is supreme.
Yes, sir.
God's will is supreme.
Yes, sir.
And Mary submitted herself to the will of God, and she didn't have time to ask Joseph what he thought about it. And so in accepting God's will for her life, she was accepting a risk. Because Joseph very well could have ended the relationship based on her accepting God's will. As a matter of fact, you read in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now, that statement, "found with child of the Holy Ghost," is a very important statement. For two reasons. Number one, it means that Joseph likely had no knowledge of Mary's condition until everybody had knowledge of Mary's condition. Now that's pretty big. It says she was found. That it was discovered. And it doesn't mention that Joseph specifically learned. It carries with it the idea that everybody found out. Because some things you just can't hide for too long. Amen? So Joseph, we see that Mary knew first about it, obviously. And Joseph was not He was not involved in knowing what was going on until this point. Also, we read that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. We have that understanding because we have the Word of God. But we need to understand that had never happened before. And it never happened since. It's never happened since. So to say that this sounded a bit far-fetched would be another understatement. Amen? Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. You know what that means? He could have made her a public example. It was within his power to make her a public example. Look what it says. Was minded to put her away privately. In other words, he was minded, that is, he was leaning toward breaking off the engagement and just quietly, privately put her away and try to go on with his life as best as he could. Come on. Gentlemen, put yourself in Joseph's position right here. Let me guarantee you the first thought you would not have had. The first thought you would not have had would not be, oh, that's probably the Holy Ghost. Come on. So Joseph, but he's a just man, he's a kind man, he's a compassionate man, and so he's thinking, I'll just put her away privately, and I'll try to get on with my life. Look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, I'm glad he was thoughtful.
Yes,
amen?
Yes.
It's a good thing he was thoughtful.
Yes.
Too many people are rash in their decisions. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen?
Amen.
And he goes on, speaks a little bit more. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Mary was risking the end of her relationship with, by all accounts, the man of her dreams. Because to her, the will of God was supreme over her own will and her own desires.
Amen.
Her acceptance of God's will brought risk in her life. Number two, it brought reproach. It brought reproach. Now, we would say it was not an earned reproach because we understand the truth of Scripture. However, to everyone around her and everyone in her life, this was going to bring reproach upon not only herself but also upon Joseph. There would be those who would say Joseph was the father. There would be others who say, well, Joseph's not the father but some other man. As a matter of fact, many years later during Jesus' ministry, when Jesus is having an especially scathing message for the Jews, the Pharisees, and the priests and the scribes on a certain day in John chapter 8, they're going to defend themselves by going on the attack against Jesus saying, we be not born of fornication. The implication is that Jesus was. We have Abraham to our father, and we be not born of fornication like some other people here. That reproach stayed upon Mary her entire life. I think sometimes we don't think of it in these terms because we like I said, we have the whole story before us. We look at it from a believing position. But there are many, many, many people, and the majority of people in her day, in her life, that did not look at this situation from a believing position. They looked at it with an eye of a critical eye.
Right.
They looked upon this as a reproach upon her. And that is something that she would bear her entire life. Now, you know what? I'm convinced of this, preacher. I'm convinced that there are Christians, there are believers all across this land and all across this globe that have not yielded to the will of God because of what this one says or this one thinks.
Yep.
Or that one says because of what family's going to think, because of what this one's going to think or say. You know what we need to get to in our lives? We need to get to a point where it does not matter what anyone else says. If it's God's will, we're going to do God's will regardless of the outcome. Regardless of opinion. Well, brother, I just don't think you ought to be doing that. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. But I answer to one higher.
Amen.
You know, everyone that has lived for Christ and has borne the gospel of Jesus Christ, every one of them at some point in your life, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be looked down upon, you're going to be lied about, you're going to be slandered.
Yes, sir.
And you got a choice. You can either just throw up your hands and say, well, I tried. And quit. Or you can just put your head down and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to continue on. And Lord willing, they'll see eventually what God is doing. But whether they see it or they don't see it, this is God's will for my life and I'm going to do it. You know that Mary saw the whispering. You know that Mary saw the looks. Now listen, in our day and age, sadly, in our day and age, this is not much of a reproach anymore. As far as the world's concerned, society's concerned, let me tell you, it wasn't these days. She could have been stoned over this. And can I say this? It's still a big deal to God, too. Doesn't matter if times have changed. God hadn't changed. His word hadn't changed. There is a reproach that she bore, even though she was pure in this situation, she still bore the reproach of bearing Christ.
Yes, sir.
I say, well, what does that mean for us? Well, why don't you turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We know from the life of Christ that He came unto His own, and His own what? Received Him not. That is, He was rejected. He was despised. That is, lightly esteemed. He was despised and rejected of men. He was refused. When you come to the book of Hebrews, there's one word that really encapsulates the whole thought of the book of Hebrews, and that's the word better. Because throughout the book of Hebrews, we're referred back to often the articles of the Hebrew religion that God had established, the tabernacle, all the pieces of the tabernacle, the furniture of the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, Moses. We're even pointed back to angels and how God used angels to deliver His message time and again.
Yes.
And in all of those things and other things even, we look at another illustration would be the old covenant. And all of those things are great and wonderful. But the point of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better than all of them.
Amen.
That old covenant was good, but the new covenant's better.
Amen.
And you know, that old tabernacle was good, but Jesus is better.
Amen.
The altar was good, Jesus was better.
Right.
The sacrifices were good, Jesus was better.
Right.
And so He's bringing the Hebrews from this old religion that was good, but it could not save.
Right.
To show that these were just pictures of the reality.
Amen.
When Rachel and I were writing before we got married, we did this strange thing, kids. We took a writing utensil called a pen. Maybe you've heard of those. And we got pieces of paper. They make those out of trees.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And we would write these little signs, they call letters, onto paper. It's how we used to communicate in the Dark Ages. We'd write letters back and forth. And every now and again in the letters, she would send me a picture. Man, I treasured those pictures. And maybe she got a new dress for Easter or something. She'd get a picture made in that new dress and send it to me. And I had a little book I kept all the pictures in. And I'd carry it with me. My dad called it my chick track. A chick track. He said, "Oh, you got your chick track, do you, son?" I said, "Yeah." And so I had this picture book and I carried it with me. I carried it to church with me. With my Bible. I had my Bible and I had my chick track. Amen. And that was really precious to me. And about two or three times a year, we'd get up to visit her and her family up in Canada. Let me tell you what I did not do. When I got there, I didn't sit out in the motorhome and just look at my picture book. The picture book was great. But when I got to the reality of the pictures, I left the pictures in the bus. Because the reality, the substance, is better than the shadow. And that's what Hebrews is all about. It's showing us that all of these things were good, but they were just pictures of the reality. And all of those are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so this is what we find in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we're talking about a reproach. Okay, we're talking about how Mary bore, in bearing Christ, she bore a reproach. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 10. "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle." You know what he's saying? Our altar now is better than theirs. "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." You read about that in Leviticus chapter 9 and other places. It says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." See, what would happen when they had those sacrificial systems, when they had those sacrifices, is they would sacrifice that animal, and everything they could not use, and everything that was left over, they would put outside of the camp. Because it was refused. We get our word refuse from that. It was refuse. It was rejected. It was reproachful. And so they put it outside the camp. So it did not defile the camp. That was the law. And now he's saying Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. If you look at the old map of old Jerusalem, you'll see that Mount Calvary is on the outside of the city walls. He was taken from the city outside of the city and hung on the cross.
Amen.
As a picture, as a fulfillment of that picture that he was suffering outside of the gate. What was he doing? He was bearing our reproach.
Yeah.
The reproach of what? The reproach of our sin.
Right.
Now look at verse 13. "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp," what? "Bearing his reproach." You see, to the world, Jesus is a reproach.
Yes, sir.
Paul said it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, I consider the world crucified unto me and I unto the world. What would draw you to a mangled corpse? Nothing. By nature, we're averse to stuff like that. And what Christ went through on that cross is opposed to that natural man that we have inside.
Yes, sir.
His divine nature was opposed to that old nature, that sinful nature. But because he saw that we needed salvation and we could not save ourselves, he took upon himself our sins.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, he became sin for us.
Amen.
I'm not even sure I can really explain that or understand that. Because here's Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was holy and harmless and separate from sinners. He wasn't even in the same category as we are. And yet somehow, he became sin for us on Calvary. Why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God. We talk about it all the time, I've got the robe of righteousness, and that's a good statement.
Yes.
But it's more than that. You know what? A robe I can take off.
Yeah.
I can put on, I can take off a robe. I got more than just a robe of righteousness when I trusted Christ.
Yeah.
I became the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Amen.
How could we be made the righteousness of God? Because Christ was made sin for us. He bore our reproach. Now to the world, we are a reproach as we bear Christ.
Right. Amen.
You know, one of the grievous sins about this new ecumenical movement, this new emergent church,
yeah,
is they are preaching a Christianity without a cross.
Right.
Well, they talk about the cross and they put it up in their building. They put it on their signs. But their Christianity does not involve a cross.
Right.
Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to take up your cross.
Amen.
You know what happens on the cross? Death.
Right. Yeah.
That is, you're nailing your desires, your goals, your hopes, your dreams. You're nailing it to his cross.
Right.
You're denying self. You're saying, Lord, I'll follow you.
Amen.
I'll bear your reproach. Mary, in accepting God's will for her life, she bore a reproach. And that is what we are called to bear in these days. Sadly, we've lost sight of that. And many believe that it will cost nothing to follow the Lord. I think that's a slap in the face of those who've gone before us and paid everything so that we could have this book, so that we could have churches to attend.
Right.
Amen. She bore that reproach. By most, she was never understood. But she knew it was God's will. And she bore it for the Lord. Let me give you one other thing. We'll be done. Mary's acceptance of bearing Christ not only brought risk and it brought reproach, but it brought a radical change in her life.
Amen.
What Christ did, what the Lord did in Mary's life is really very simple, but it's very instructive. You say, God interrupted Mary's life. How did he interrupt Mary's life? Well, he interrupted Mary's life with Jesus.
Yep.
That's what he did. And you know what God wants to do in all of our lives? The very same thing.
Amen.
What did he do with Mary? He put Jesus in her.
Amen.
What does the scripture say? Christ in you.
Amen.
the hope of glory.
Amen.
And when Mary accepted, when she received the work of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He made a change in her life.
Amen.
We know Mary because of Jesus. That's why we even know who Mary is. We wouldn't even know her had it not been for Jesus. She would have made no impact whatsoever in the world had it not been for Jesus.
Amen.
You know what the Lord wants to do in each and every one of our lives? He wants to put Jesus in us.
Amen.
Amen. I was talking to a brother down here. He told me he just got saved last week.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know what that'll do? Nothing except change your whole life.
Right. Amen.
Other than that, it'll all be the same. Yeah. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, present tense,
yep,
he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old
Amen.
Things are passed away. Don't miss this world. This word, behold.
Yep.
Behold. Why is that important? Because that means to see.
Right.
Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
And when Jesus entered Mary's life, she was changed. It was a supernatural work of God.
Amen.
John chapter 1 tells us, but as many as received Him, not received a list of do's and don'ts, not received an intellectual understanding of the gospel, but received Him, received Jesus, as many as received Him, to them gave He what? Power. Power.
Amen.
You know what that means? God gave to us when we got saved something we did not have before.
That's right.
Well, they want to just dumb down Christianity and salvation to where it has no effect on the life.
Yep.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Right.
For it is the power of God.
Amen.
Unto salvation.
Yes, sir.
It makes a change. You can't receive Jesus and not receive a change. Radical change in her life. And you know what? It began to show. Amen?
Amen.
Began to show. Now she went to Elizabeth's house, her cousin, for a while after she received that visit. And maybe she was thinking, boy, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I wouldn't fault her for thinking that.
Right.
Maybe she even thought, well, I'll just kind of keep it under wraps for a while. That might work for a while. But after a while, you can't hide it anymore.
Right.
What God did in her life changed her for time and eternity.
Amen.
And listen, get this, we'll be done. What God did in her life, God wants to do in our lives.
That's right.
Amen. So what do you mean, preacher? God used this little girl, this young lady, to bring Jesus to the world.
Amen.
Amen.
She brought Jesus to the world. Mm-hmm. You know what our job is? Same thing.
That's right.
Amen.
Bring Jesus to the world.
Amen.
Jesus said, "You are the light of the world."
Yep.
Ye are the light of the world. Are you showing the work that God's done in you? Is it clear to those around you? What about at work?
Mm-hmm.
They know that you know Jesus?
Right.
Boy, it's tough at work. I know it is. They see you at your best, and many times they see you at your worst.
Yep.
You know what will make the difference? Just a steady testimony that Jesus Christ is in me.
Amen.
I'm not different because of me. I'm different because of Him.
That's right.
Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word tonight. God, I pray that we would take to heart what we've heard. Lord, maybe there's someone in here tonight and they know all about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd make it very clear to them tonight. Being saved is not knowing all the ins and outs of the gospel. It's not knowing what to say. It's not accepting a list of facts. Being saved is a supernatural work of God that one receives by faith. And Lord, I pray there's someone who's not received Christ, that they would do so tonight. And Lord, I pray for those of us who are saved. Lord, I pray that we'd not try to hide the work you've done in our lives. I pray that we would gladly bear your reproach like Mary did. That we would gladly show the change that you have made in our lives. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, you'll be obedient to the Spirit of God. The pastor's coming. We'll close the service according to how God leads him. But you just be obedient to God's Spirit tonight.